News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. And I'm always excited when I get to welcome my next guest to the program. Dr. Bruce Bechtel teaches down at Angelo State University, PhD, National Security Studies. He is somebody who has written a bunch of books, including North Korean Military Proliferation in the Middle East and Africa, Enabling Violence and Instability, Defiant Failed State, The Last Days of Kim Jong-il. It is great to have you on the program, Dr. Bechtel. Welcome back to the show.
Brett, it's always great to be with you. You're my favorite person to talk to.
Oh, my gosh, that's high praise, and I appreciate that so much. North Korea has been in the news. I don't know if you noticed or not, but they've been in the news here in the last few weeks. And we had the dear leader there, Kim, come out and say that they want to develop the largest nuclear stockpile in the world, the largest nuclear weapons in the world. What is the story here? What is going on? Is he begging for attention? What is this, doctor?
Well, I think the call to attention is part of it. And obviously, a big part of that was the gigantic missile launch that occurred a few days ago that I'm sure you know about. The North Koreans said that was the Hwasong-17, which is the ginormous ICBM we saw in a parade. Which last March, when I was in New York City doing some research, they test-fired that missile, and it blew up over Pyongyang, and pieces of it were falling on people in Pyongyang.
Oh, my gosh.
They test-launched something they said was a Hwasong-17, but was probably the Hwasong-15, which is also a missile that can hit New York City, and that was successful. This time, they claim to have launched the Hwasong-17 again. If that's the case, then it was their first successful launch of this missile, which can't do anything more, by the way, than the missile they launched in 2017, the Hwasong-15. It's just bigger. So that means it can carry a bigger payload, which means it could probably kill twice as many people. But the Hwasong-15 could already kill probably, you know, 120,000 people just from the initial launch, the initial explosion when it lands, if it's carrying a highly enriched uranium warhead or something similar. So this is just a bigger missile that supposedly can carry a bigger warhead if that's what they launched. So what he's probably referring to is that he's now got a really, really big missile that can carry a really big payload, a nuclear payload. And that's what he's talking about. Because obviously the North Koreans' supply of nuclear weapons, if you want to call it that, you know, nuclear warheads, nuclear bombs, is probably minuscule compared to that of the United States or China or Russia or even countries such as the United Kingdom or France. But that's probably what he's talking about. He's probably trying to bring attention to this big missile, which they're still trying to get to launch correctly. I mean, we saw one launch that looked okay, if that's what the missile was, and some specialists claim that it was not. So that's where we are right now. They're continuing to develop their ICBMs, and I think the next thing we're going to see in keeping with this is we are going to see a nuclear test very soon. Hopefully you'll call me when that happens. I think that's what we're going to see next, because typically, Brett, when you see a successful nuclear test, you see an ICBM launch to follow, and vice versa. So I'd say precedent tells us that's likely what we're going to see soon.
Well, let me jump in here, because as we are speaking, I got a bulletin that came across the transom here, and you may be able to unpack this given what you just speculated. This is an urgent bulletin out of Yonhap, a news agency. North Korea to hold a plenary session of the ruling party's Central Committee in late December, according to state media. This just dropped 6:06 in the morning, December 1, 2022, where it's obviously now tomorrow. Does this indicate to you that they may be planning that test and then celebrating with this meeting?
You know, that very well could be. You know, they don't necessarily have these big meetings at the same time or afterwards, even when they do big ICBM launches or nuclear tests, or as it appears they'll do, you know, this time, very close together. But it's not unprecedented that they would do that. We probably can also expect to see some communications with China, because, as you know, typically they inform China before they do a nuclear test. Although in the past, I mean, for their first four nuclear tests, they actually informed China less than an hour before they actually conducted the tests.
Wow, that's...
So it was like, hey, we're doing this, ha-ha. So we may or may not see that. It just depends. But I think that definitely having that plenary meeting is an indication that that Kim is trying to push attention on his nuclear and missile programs. And what he's really pushing for, Brett, is he wants to get those sanctions that are so severe on his economy right now eased. Because his economy is really hurting. The sanctions, the international sanctions, are really biting in to what he can actually do, which is why they now run their economy as probably 60% illicit activities. Although China and Russia are now completely ignoring the sanctions, both of those countries. Trade has picked up with China. Trade's picked up with Russia as well.
Have the North Koreans gone into the fentanyl business, or are they still just manufacturing on mass scale, you know, methamphetamines and things like that?
Well, I haven't seen, you know, that's a great question. I haven't seen any fentanyl coming out of North Korea. You know, usually you see that in the press and places like that, or you see, you know, Treasury sanction them for doing something like that, which they've done to the Chinese. I have not seen any of that, although that would not surprise me, because, as you know, fentanyl is pretty simple and easy to manufacture, which is what these probably government-sanctioned companies are doing out in China. So that would be something to look for.
All right. Can you hold over for me for one more segment? Because I want to talk about what we're seeing in this picture in this part of the world. We've got Xi, obviously, trying to keep a lid on things in China. Russia, obviously, in their situation with Ukraine. And then now you've got North Korea. This seems to be a very hot neighborhood, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Can you stick with me, Professor?
Absolutely.
Terrific. That's Dr. Bruce Bechtel. He's going to stick with us. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Boomers, got to look at those roads. WBT welcomes the Light the Nights Festival, where you can make merry memories at Truist Field now through January 6th. There's an ice skating rink and snow tubing hill, plus enjoy light shows, live entertainment, holiday treats, Christmas trees, shopping Santa, and more. So get out there and enjoy it. Continuing our conversation that we are enjoying greatly with Dr. Bruce Bechtel here at News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Dr. Bechtel, here's the question I have for you. I would have thought there'd be greater emphasis on these challenges there in Northeast Asia, North Korea, China, etc. But it does feel to me like we're not paying adequate attention to what's going on in North Korea, and we've got our hands, you know, in our pockets as we look at what's going on in China. How do you assess this general situation in the region?
Well, I don't think you're the only one that has assessed that. I certainly would be in total agreement with you on that. The Biden administration appears, with good reason, very focused on Ukraine, but you can't lose sight of the forest for the trees, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And I think that's part of the problem. Unfortunately, the Biden administration's foreign policy, now that we're into two full years of the administration, appears very much like what Obama's foreign policy was like regarding North Korea. And his policy was called strategic patience by most, which really meant strategic failure. In other words, if we just ignore them, it probably won't be too bad. Well, we've seen that that's wrong. North Korea continued to develop their nuclear program, their missile program, and we're still seeing that. The only good thing I could say about what the Biden administration has done regarding North Korea specifically is that they have not lifted any of the sanctions that were put on Kim Jong-un and his people during the Trump administration. They've left all of those on. They have not lifted any sanctions, and that's a good thing. Now, when it comes to China, for example,
it's
so bad over there right now. Can you imagine anyone doing what they've done in an American city, in Charlotte, for example?
Or
San Angelo, Texas. That's where I live, which, as you know, is the cultural center of the universe.
Yes, it is.
But they just have not taken any real measures against China, and they can because we have so much American business in China. That there are certainly measures that we could take. I have not seen that. The pivot to Asia that we heard talked about simply has not occurred.
The thing that is disturbing to me as you look at this picture is the longer we're out of the game, you know, in any sort of a big public way, the more China's going to work on their influence. Obviously, you're going to have challenges in that region itself. And there's not going to be a way to really sway what ends up happening in North Korea. I mean, we obviously saw what happened with President Trump, and some people think maybe he was too soft on Kim Jong-un. But when you look at Kim Jong-un's behavior, is he a rational actor? Is he irrational? To the extent that you can know this, is he somebody that's going to try to do a shakedown and get a payoff, or does he really want to be considered a player in that nuclear club?
Well, he is a rational actor, and the people surrounding him, in other words, the government of the DPRK, which is really Kim and his inner circle, as you know, they are a rational state actor, and yes, they also want to do a shakedown.
Great.
I mean, and by shakedown, I mean they want sanctions lifted. North Korea now, as I said, 60% of their economy is probably illicit activities. They've gone into cryptocurrency in a major way. I have a book coming out next fall that talks more about, you know, their proliferation and illicit activities. And I was just shocked when I did my research about how they've changed the way they launder their dirty money. It's all through cryptocurrency now. And you're going to be fascinated by this, Brett. Mm-hmm. They make their money off arms sales or off ripping off banks, you know, through cyber and other things as well. Then that money gets laundered in South Korea, and then it gets sent to the Middle East, to three major countries, Syria, Iran, and the UAE, and laundered again and again and again, so that there's no trace of North Korean on it at all. And then where do you think it goes? Banks in China.
Wow.
So China is while China's not, you know, overtly helping North Korea, how could they not know that this billions of dollars that North Korea is making off its illicit economy, despite sanctions, is coming from North Korea? And the amount of that money over the past 2 years has been, according to the ROC government, $6.5 billion, which is a lot to the North Koreans.
Sure it is. Absolutely. Fascinating conversation. We look forward to that book, and you will absolutely be with us once that book is published and you're ready to start talking about it. Dr. Bruce Bechtel, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and let's hope that peace is going to prevail, because this is what we've got to worry about, and we got to pay close attention to it, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me, Brett, and my best to your family.
You as well, sir. I appreciate you.